If you would this morning, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. I'm going to try to bring a message this morning on the subject of the importance of the house of God. We are certainly living in a time when the importance of God's house has been minimized. It has been abused. We have heard so many caustic stories about different places that call themselves churches. But this morning I want to try to take just some simple thoughts and try to show some importance of the house of the Lord, which is the church of God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." This verse here, I believe, is very important to us because it tells us the importance of the church. Some people minimize the house of God. Some people minimize the effectiveness of a church that is has been bound together by certain doctrines and certain faith of beliefs. And they want to minimize that. But the Bible says here that the house of God, which is the church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of the truth. So that verse, I believe, tells me that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the place where we find truth, is the place that we find understanding of His Word. It's a place where that we can rightly divide the Word of truth or the Word of faith. And it's a place where we can know what the book says about certain issues and certain things that we have that come before us. Now, these places that tell you they're a non-denominational church, that's a misnomer. Because they have a doctrine. They have a faith. They have a belief, a system of beliefs, because you cannot exist without knowing what you believe. Now, some of those that are non-denominational, I have found, have been pretty straight in their doctrine. Some of them have been fairly straight in the way the church operates, but there's some that is so far off the wall. I'm not ashamed of being called a Baptist. Now, I'm ashamed of some Baptists. And I'm ashamed of a lot of my Baptist friends. But I'm not ashamed of what I believe, that I believe is truth that is revealed to us in the Word of God. And we're living in a time when many Baptist churches are dropping the title off and they're calling themselves the Independent Fellowship or something, that they do not want an identity. And that's well and good for maybe a moment, for a little while, as long as that pastor that is there straight and right, that may work okay. But that leaves the door open for anything. There's nothing wrong with identity. There's nothing wrong with knowing where we are and what we stand for. And so this morning, I'm not going to get into a lot of the issues that we face. I may here in a few weeks, because I believe we need to know where we stand. I believe we need to not only have certain things by name, but we need to find it in the Word of God. If you can't find it, then chuck it and be done with it. And so I believe it's important. And every once in a while, we need to focus upon the importance and the mission, the operation, the leadership, concerning a local church. And let me throw that in, since I said local church, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only thing that's taught in the Word of God. The local, visible body of believers. And so I'm not dealing with somebody down the road 50 miles. I'm not dealing with someone across the state. I'm dealing with a local congregation here. And I believe we need to have and know and be focused upon these issues that we are facing in this day in which we live. It has been prophesied that in the last days there would be falling away, and I believe we are in that, living that prophecy. We are finding and we are seeing that Laodicea age is not just here, but it is thriving. The age of which people have their own rights, and I'll do it my way, and I'll do what I want to do, and I'll live the way I want to live, and I'll believe what I want to be. It's not your place to tell me what's right and wrong. I'll do what I want to do. That's the thriving Laodicean church age, because that is what they have in the book of Revelation. Churches are doing away with what we would call the old paths. That's no longer popular. People are looking for a place to go to church where they can both be acceptable in their heresies and acceptable in their comfortableness of their sin and still go out and feel good. And that's not the reason. That's not the importance of the local church. Churches this morning across our country, many of them are are full or filled almost to capacity. But then when night service comes, they have hardly enough to have anything for their service. And so we're finding that the Bible says not only is the church the pillar and ground of the truth, but in Hebrews, as we have used and read this verse many times, Hebrews tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, the manner of some is to forsake. And that ought to be the exception to the rule, but it has become the rule now. And so we find that we are living in an age that people are no longer focusing upon the importance of the local church and what it means and what it stands for. The importance of God's house. The house of the Lord is used, that phrase is used 213 times in the Bible. The phrase house of God is used 87 times. That's a total of 300 references to the house of the Lord or the house of God. And that's excluding terms like temple and tabernacle or church. The word church itself in the New Testament is used over 115 times. And so we're dealing with something that is not foreign to the Scripture, but it is sometimes foreign to our ears. There needs to be a right emphasis placed upon the house of God. There needs to be a place where we understand that we learn and we come to a realization of certain things in our spiritual life. Hebrews 10, where I read a moment ago, says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do you realize this morning the word ekklesia that is translated in our English Bible is translated church? It literally means to assemble. It means to come together. We, this morning at 10 o'clock, we assembled in our different places for Sunday school. We come in here at 11 o'clock hour, and we have assembled ourselves. We have brought ourselves together in this location for the singing and the prayer, the praise, whatever is involved in the church service. We have assembled ourselves together for that. And Paul tells us in Hebrews that we are not, as a child of God, and Hebrews was written to Christian people, it was written to Christian Jews, and Paul tells those Christian Jews not to forsake the coming together or the assembling of themselves together. And it had already started, he says, as the manner of some. There are some that have already departed. There are some that have already forsaken. There are some that are no longer doing what needs to be done. But Paul says that since we are to draw near with a full heart, a heart of full assurance, and we can hold fast our profession and we can consider one another, thank God we can come together and worship the Lord in the assembly of Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want us to think about the emphasis placed upon God's house. The house of God in our modern time, I wrote down here just a moment ago, apart from my notes that I had prepared, I wrote down that the world has made the house of God a place of reveille, fun and games. I said the world, I really mean the worldlings. That's the whirling Christians. Those that want to claim the name of Christ, but yet they want to hang on to the joys of the world. They want to feel religious, they want to feel good, but yet they want to have a little bit of religion in their heart to to make them feel their conscience at ease, but yet their life is holding on and struggling for and keeping the things that this old world has to offer. And the Scripture says we're to let those things go. The house of God ought not to be a place of reveling and fun and games, but it's a place of rallying. I believe we ought to rally together the people of the Lord. You know, when you're down and almost out, how many times we find ourselves there? When we find ourselves just so discouraged and we're just down, isn't it good to be able to come to the house of the Lord and to be able to find people of like precious faith, and we can have encouragement with each other, that we can share our burdens and our prayer requests, or we can get alone maybe with a dear friend and can pour our heart out and can rejoice together to know that we can rally ourselves around the things of the Lord and can leave here in a better shape than how we came. I know sometimes it's difficult to come to church. Somebody say, "How do you know that, preacher?" I know it's difficult sometimes to come to church because the world has such a pull upon us and the struggle is so strong and so great, and sometimes we are devastated by the circumstances of life that it becomes hard. You'll never find me just talking and running down someone because I don't know what's behind the door where they live. Now, I will tell them truth and I will try to preach the gospel and preach right and tell them what's right, what's wrong, how they ought to be. But I know we all have responses to certain pressures that come to life. And my response may be different than yours and yours may be different than mine. And sometimes those responses are dependent upon where we are in our spiritual walk with God. And so we find that when troubles come and when we're down and when we're devastated by the circumstances of life, I'm glad, thank God, we have a house of the Lord that we can rejoice together in and we can rely upon each other to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We find, I believe, comfort and strength in God's people. It'd be a sad, sad world if you was the only Christian. It'd be a sad, sad world if we didn't have friends and loved ones that, not just blood kin, but I'm talking about spiritual kin. I'm talking about of the seed of Abraham, of that stars of the sky that could not be numbered. I believe that's talking about the spiritual seed of Abraham. It's a great thing to have spiritual people around us. And the emphasis there, we can rely upon those and rely upon the house of God and the people of God to know that they will help us. The church of the living God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, should be a place of renewing our life and renewing our strength. When we are defiled by our walk in this world, I didn't say if we are defiled, I said when we are defiled. We are defiled. Every day, every moment of our life, the devil is there to make us dirty. And did you ever have a wicked thought and wonder where that came from? I can tell you where it came from. It comes from a heart that cannot be trusted. Who can know the heart, the Bible says. But I'm glad, thank God, our heart is changed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our hearts are deceived, and when our lives are defiled, I'm glad we can come to the house of the Lord and through the reading of the Word of God and the preaching of God's Word, we can find a cleansing agent to help us. We can find that thing that will help us in our walk. And many times, the fellow doing the preaching, whether it be me or somebody else or whether it be a friend, many times we don't know what's going on. But thank God He does, and He can give us words that we don't even know that will help, but they do help. And God drives it home to our heart. That's what we have in God's house. Somebody says, "Well, I can worship the Lord anywhere." Well, you can, but you don't go to church anywhere. You go to church where God's people are. Well, I can be just as spiritual out of church as in church. I beg to differ with you. Now, I know that's a good cliche, and I know that's something that we hear. Well, I can do just as good out of church as I can in church. You take it up with the book. Because the Bible tells us that we are made to serve and made to honor. And the Bible says Jesus died for the church. If it's important enough for Him to die for, it ought to be important enough to me that I can serve Him through it. We are so deficient. We're anemic when it comes to the understanding of the importance of the house of God. The house of the Lord is a place of revival. When you're defeated, you can find a renewed outlook on life and get back to where the devil hates for you to be, and that's with God's people. We need some right emphasis on the house of God. There needs to be some excitement about going to God's house. I know how it is. We get up, we're tired. We go to bed tired. We get up tired. We go to church tired. We go home, take a nap, and wonder why we're tired. Whew. Sure explained my life. But we find that when we come to the house of God, it ought to be a place of excitement. Now, I know sometimes it's hard. And it's difficult sometimes to work it up. I don't think it ought to be worked up. Sometimes we have to make a good show. You know, we're interested in a show. We don't want anybody to know we're down. We don't want anybody to know that our hearts are being tugged and squeezed by the wicked. We want to put on a good false face. We want to put on that actor's face. You know what that is? You know what the word hypocrite means? It means an actor. We put that on all the time, all of us do, because we don't want anybody to know who we really are, even our closest friend. And so when we come to the house of God, there ought to be some excitement. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Today we are sad when it's time to get up and we go to the house of the Lord." We're tired, we're droopy, we're dreary. These kind of days don't help it. You get up in the morning and you look out, and sometimes I look out the window and I can't even see the church down here because of the fog. It's just real dreary. We get up and say, "Well, I guess I better get up and go get my shower. I got to get up. I got to go." Ooh, it's quiet in here. Did somebody say that this morning to yourself? Who knows? But we find that God has done so much for us and blessed us in so many ways. We ought to rejoice that we can be in God's house. We can have a place where we can go to call it our home. For some people, the people of the house of God are more precious to them than their own family members. Sometimes it's more precious to them than their own homes. Because when we come together, we find friendship and compassion and passion for each other and passion for God. It brings about excitement. Brings about encouragement. Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." To behold His beauty and to inquire. You know what inquire means? It means to ask. If a man has a question, if a person has a question, we can ask and God can give the answer. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after," David said. "I'm going to seek after this which I desire." Now, David was a troubled man. David had his problems. David had his sins. But he said, "I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, because there is where I can behold the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of our God. There is where I can inquire in His temple. I can ask the questions of the Lord that I maybe cannot ask of anyone else. And I can inquire of Him and He will answer my soul." David said, "I desire that of the Lord. And I'm going to seek after it." Psalm number 55, verse number 14, David says, "We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." They didn't have their cars. They didn't have their different ways and modes of transportation as we do. And David said, it was just good to walk together going to the house of God. I'm sure Brother Ebert could give many stories concerning people that walked out of the villages to the place of assembly. What was it you told me the other day? They called it the gathering. Is that right? I like that. Are you of the gathering? And if you said yes, that meant you went to church. And if you wasn't part of the gathering, it meant you wasn't a part. You wasn't going to church. You see, you walk together, you counsel together, you ask, inquire of the Lord, and seek after that. The house of the Lord should be important. In the Old Testament, Israel's camp found the tabernacle in the wilderness as the centerpiece. I mean, that was the centerpiece of their worship, the tabernacle. You could study it and see every point of it looks and points to Jesus Christ. And as that is in the Old Testament, so should our involvement be around the church of the living God. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is given to, the church is given the authority to protect the truth. If someone comes in this church and preaches something that is false according to God's Word, it's the church's responsibility to make sure that does not happen again. If the preacher goes off and does and says things that are unbiblical and unscriptural, it's the church's responsibility to stop it. Because it is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is the protector of the truth of this book right here that we have. And we neglect it so much, and we despise sometimes the things that we have to do, and we let it slide, but it is so important. If it's not important to us, it'll not be important to our children nor our grandchildren. God's house ought to be the centerpiece of the home. Not the mantle, but the center. The house of the Lord is more important than anything else you can do for your children. Well, little Johnny's got ball practice. Church of God is more important than ball practice. Sometimes we have conflicts here with so many churches involved with our school that sometimes the kids say, I'm torn. I said, don't be torn. You do what your church does. And I believe that's the way it ought to be. So you won't hit 20 points. What's that? So you get to miss some fun. It'll be there next time. The church of the living God is more important than even their schooling. And we have a school and we operate a school. But I'll tell you what, church is more important than school. And I believe one of the reasons that our school has prospered so well is that we do not let the school override and overshadow the church. When it does, you got it wrong. In these 30-something years, 31 or 2 years that we've had a school, I can count in my hand, my fingers on my hands would not hold all the schools and churches that have gone out of existence because of problems in the school. It's not right. It ought not to be that way. The house of the Lord should be a place of affection. The house of the Lord ought to look forward to the time that we spend sitting on the pews. Somebody says, well, that was a long service. Well, it might have been because you just had a short attention span. Now, I've been in some long services that I had a short attention span. And I've been in some churches and been in some services that the preacher preached long. And when he got done, I looked at my watch and I said, you mean that's how long he's preached? It's not the length. It's the content. It's not even the delivery. No, I'll give this to you. I like a fellow that can deliver. I mean, got a little bit of get up and go to it. And sometimes I lack in those areas. I know that. But the content has to be right. Because it's the pillar and ground of the truth. The house of the Lord should be a place, as I already said, encouragement, understanding, a place of strength and joy, comfort and safety. This is our fair haven. How many times we've come in the house of the Lord and I mean the whole world seems to be crashing down on us and God does something individually for us or collectively for us and we go out rejoicing and saying, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You have one of those services and you try to call somebody and say, you should have been there. Well, what happened? I can't tell you. I can give you words, but I can't tell you really what all happened. Because the Spirit of God moves the house of the Lord. David said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. He longs for it. The house of the Lord should be a place of worship. Well, that's a catch-all word today in our society. We have our worship centers. Most of them that I have ever looked at know very little about worship. But it ought to be a place of worship. Worship is nothing more than ascribing to God the praise as only He is worthy of. It's not swaying to the music. It's not shutting my eyes and getting in a trance. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen enough of it on TV just like I have. That's not worship. That's a feel-good attitude, a feel-good spirit maybe. But it's not worship. He is worthy. Only He. It's from the heart. It's from our lips. It's from our instruments. It's from our singing. It's from our giving. You say, you mean I worship by giving? The book says you do. Worship is giving ourselves over and ascribing ourselves to the worthiness of our God. It's a place of singing. It's a place of praying, praising, sacrifice, sharing, blessing. That's the house of God. It's a place of worship. The house of the Lord should be a place where we grow. When we first get saved, the Bible says that we are babes in Christ. And now we have to be nurtured. Now we have to be taken. You know why there's so much false doctrine in this in our society? Is because people have bypassed the pillar and ground of the truth. We've got our parachurch organizations that some of them do good works and good deeds, but they're not the church. It's a place where we learn to grow. One of the greatest shames of our modern age is the biblical ignorance of Baptist churches. And that's why I feel really convicted about we need to get into some sound teaching doctrine. I believe we know it. But you know what? I'd be surprised at what we don't know. I'd be surprised at the questions maybe that might be asked that are very juvenile, early age questions of people that have sat under preaching for years and years. The house of the Lord is a place of teaching. I love to teach. I like to just go, and I like to teach. I like to teach on topics. but I like to preach. Somebody said, well, there's not much difference. Oh, yes, there is. Somebody said the difference in teaching and preaching is just you holler louder preaching. You spit more. You run around a little more. That's the view. But there's a teaching element. And when God calls a man to preach, the Bible says he has to be apt to teach and preach. The Bible distinguishes the two, and so therefore they're distinguished. I've sat under some good teachers, and I thank God for every one of them. They could just expound the Word of the Lord and put it in a way that you could understand it. And I want to do that. I try my best. I've heard in my years of ministry, I have heard some of the choicest of God's preachers. Have a lot of them on tape up there. Just preaching God's Word and different styles and different methods and different ways and different deliveries. But the content is what is important. We can be moved by the charisma of an individual, but if his words are wrong, then we're moved the wrong way. We can be moved by the charismatic way of an individual's delivery. But if his words do not match to his charisma, then he is a danger. I have sat under some men that I thought they were the most boring people I ever heard in my life. But as I wrote down what they were saying, thank God for truth. And I have sat under some men that were very charismatic and very able and very exciting, and I've written down what they've said, and the content was not as deep as the other guy. And so the important thing is what we believe and be able to deliver that and to do that in the house of God to help our people to learn and to grow and to mature in the things of the Lord. It's a place of growth, of teaching and preaching. It's a place of spiritual maturity. No longer being... Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, I should be able to give you meat, but I have to give you milk. Why was that? Because they had not matured to the place of eating meat. You take a little old 6-month-old baby and you throw down in front of that baby a $15 T-bone steak, they won't have any idea what to do with it. And you put down beside that steak a bottle of milk, you know what they'll take? They'll take that milk. But the shame of, and that's the way it is supposed to be. But the shame of it is, you take that same person when he's 25, and you put down that T-bone steak, spiritually speaking, and the bottle of milk, spiritually speaking, he still goes over here to the milk. Because that's a little hard. That'll take too much of my time. I have to think on that. I have to use a little bit of reasoning power on something that's a little more substance to it. Now, I like milk and I like meat. But we grow to maturity where we want them both, spiritually. The Bible says we do that because Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This morning, do you understand, do you realize that the deceiver is out there and he's ready to deceive you? Well, preacher, I know that I can't find this in the Bible, but I believe it anyway. You ever had that? I think Brother Gallagher said the other day in one of our Sunday school lessons, some lady told him, said, "I don't care what the Bible says, I believe this." That's the attitude of a lot of people. It doesn't matter to me what the Scripture says. This is what I believe. This is what my dad, my mom, my grandma, my grandpa, this is what my other church believe, and that's what I'm going to believe, regardless of what this says. We're to grow that we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. If you want to get a following today, if you want to be popular, you just go start you something new, has never been heard of, and be real charismatic about your delivery, and you'll find somebody that'll follow you. Because that's just what I'm looking for. I'm wanting something fresh. I'm wanting something new. Sort of like the people at Mars Hill. Always telling and receiving and wanting something new and fresh. Paul said, "I perceive all your devotions." He said, "But I need to tell you what, I need to preach to you Jesus." That's what people today need. They need the Lord. So, when you read, and we may do some work on this word church. I think it's important. And, I have some very strong views on the church. Very narrow views. If we can find it in the book, it's okay. The house of God is important. If it's not, then why do we pay $2,000 a month electric bills? Why do we come and clean and work and keep it up? Why do we put a new roof on? Why do we pave a parking lot? Why do we redo? Why do we rework? Why do we do? If it's not important, let's just chuck it. Why do we remodel? Because everywhere you look now, there's water spots because of the roof. Why would we have to do all that? It's because it's important. Why do we make the things out front look as good as we can? Because it's important. When a person comes around that curve for the first time up here on this hill, they only have one opportunity to have a first impression of Grace Baptist Church. That's all. One time. And I think it's important. It's the house of God. Why should it be spotless? Why should it be clean? Because they only have one opportunity for first impressions. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. Not the building. The building just shows us where we meet. We are the pillar and ground of the truth. May God help us to build upon that pillar. God help us to build on the truth and proclaim the truth. Magnify the truth. It doesn't matter how unpopular it is. There are some things that we believe this morning that are very, very unpopular. I don't think we'll have to worry about getting the Church of the Year award. I don't think I'll have to worry about being the man of the year, the man of ministry. Because some of the things we hold today just cuts that group apart. But the truth is what is important. May God help us to stand on truth. I've delivered my heart this morning. I know nothing else to say or do. And sometimes, only preachers understand this. But let me tell you this. Sometimes if I'm not the same all the time on Sunday morning, just because there's a burden. I try to, like everybody else, I try to hide it sometimes. But I can't hardly wait to get the song service out of the way. Get the special out of the way. And I don't say that wrongfully. I just got something to say. And I believe it's more important than anything in this world, the preaching of God's Word. And so, I've delivered my heart, and I think it's important what we stand for, what we believe, and where we take to the next level. Let's do something even a little different this morning. Let's stand together.